We all can read one poem tonight. The first poet is Jason Irwin. Jason, come on. Jason, come on.
Hi. This is called Meditation on My 44th Birthday. Before going for a walk, I open the day's newspaper. NASA releases detailed photos of Charon, Pluto's largest moon. In a marketplace in Diyala Province, Iraq, a suicide bomber kills 120. On this day in 1959, Billie Holiday died handcuffed to her hospital bed. My horoscope tells me I will be extremely serious and earnest in my emotions, that I will suffer from the ailments of birds. And though my planetary ruler is the moon, Neptune, which is closest to Pluto in the solar system, holds a strong influence. Hard to believe half of my life is just something that used to be. Still, I keep moving forward, carving out my own small portion, writing my initials in every tree. On my walk, I stop at the corner of Maple and Elm, watch the sun sink behind the train station, and imagine Charon orbiting Pluto so many miles in space, or the Charon who ferried the souls of the dead to the underworld. Maybe he delivered the people killed in the marketplace, or Lady Day. Instead of a coin for passage, she sang, "Baby, why stop and cling to some fading thing that used to be?" Her lilting voice trailing off as they reached the far shore. Thanks.
All right, Jen Aspern. Come on, Jen.
10 things that seem important. The rabbit dinner with sweet tea, the self-righteous pink eye, the bureaucratic daisies, the hunt for biker leather and antique spittoons, the beetroots pushing toward the frost line, the rigid architecture of a doghouse, the rebellion of a persimmon that clings to a winter branch, the manure smell still lingering in the corduroy jacket, the hyperbole of a poem about death, the hyperbole of a poem about anything. Thank you.
One of my favorite poets a long time, writes about peace. How could you not love her? Nancy Esther James.
Letter poem for a friend, August 2015. Dear Jerry, the potted plants you gave me still survive in my windows, even strive to grow. The hydrangea almost blossoms, meager petals, washed out pinks, blues, lavenders. Though some leaves curl at the edges, others emerge firm and green. The cactus you said was wrong, supposed to bloom at Christmas, briefly sprouted again last spring. Dark red trumpet-like blooms decorated the yellow-green tips of the newest segments. Most beautiful of all, the orchid again bears flowers like white-winged birds perched on a trailing tendril. Other years, you'd see those radiant petals through the window as you walked to my door. You'd bring me something every dinner date, cookies, a book, food for my cats. Early on, I explained that I preferred living plants to cut bouquets that only end as trash. Now, although I'm no gardener, I do my best to nurture your gifts, keep them alive in honor of you, who, last Christmas Day, departed the living world, but left behind green memories of your generosity. In lasting friendship, Nancy.
In life, sometimes you want to meet people that you just like, and they kind of make you look good. And made me look real good. He published a couple of my books. He took my garbage, and he made magic out of it. Bob Zeller, come on out here. Made it all look so good.
It was a real honor to be publishing Jimmy's books, and it wasn't garbage, although I did make a lot of spelling corrections. Typos, not spelling corrections. This poem is called Radio. Over the years, occasionally someone will ask about my religious affiliation, to which I reply, well, my mother's Catholic and my father's Jewish, but I pretty much just listen to the radio. As it turns out, my home now is in the town of Wilkinsburg, where Frank Conrad began broadcasting music in 1919 from the transmitter he built in his garage on the corner of Penn and Peebles. His children played music over the newfound airwaves, and he spun records as well, bartering with the Hamilton Record Store in exchange for advertising on the air. Frank was among the world's first DJs right here in Wilkinsburg. So here I am 100 years later, listening to music on the radio in one of the very first neighborhoods to ever enjoy such a thing. Pretty cool, I know. Wilkinsburg a century ago was known as the Holy City, or the City of Churches. And Penn Avenue was earlier known as the Great Road. And earlier than that, an Indian trail, a buffalo path. Some of the churches are empty now, though some are still thriving, and here I sit, still listening to the radio. Hallelujah, Bebopalula, Shadubi, Amen.
Thank you, my friend. The next poet is Alyssa. I can't say that. Siani? I was close.
All right, this is called The Dream. The mother deer walks to the edge of a field and sniffs the air. She is looking for her fawn, who today leapt beyond the tall grass, from the golden sun and beyond safety. Heat from the summer day comes off the asphalt in waves like an aftershock from an explosion, the surreal shapes in air bending to flame. She finds the fawn laying on the road. The doe's head begins bobbing up and down, frantic as she tries to catch that familiar scent of tender joy. Now my own mother is there, standing at the road with them. She is dreaming again. In her dream, she is taking them both into her arms. She has learned what it is to hold on and let go. She holds them loose like water, like a cascade of flowers. Caressing their long necks, she looks into the soft brown eyes of their soul and whispers the only word she knows. From that distance, I see the three of them standing in the fire, together illuminated.
Thank you, Elisa. And this looks like, geez, I can't even make this out. Hoots, Heads, you help me out with this one.
Roberta Hatcher.
Roberta.
There she is.
Oh, Roberta, I couldn't see your writing. It's
my little scribble.
Yeah, my eyes are gone.
All right, well.
I know I'm giving a reading on Friday, so I don't want to seem greedy, but this is a poem for Hemingway's only. Last time the Penguins were in the Stanley Cup Finals, we were still reading here on nights that there was hockey, and I came on game four night and was traumatized by people reading just lovely poems and very subtle and nuanced in the outside room screaming, knowing that if they went to game six, I was going to be reading on game six night. And they did, and I was here. And so this poem is called On the Occasion of Reading Hockey in the Back Room of Hemingway's Cafe during game six night of the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm doing like the kids here with my phone because I wasn't planning on doing this. In poetry, as in hockey, we are playing the body, circling through white space, rushing the blue line, trying to slip some round hard truth into the net ahead of all defenses. In poetry, as in hockey, we are seduced by violence, charged by the power of play, the slam, hoping madly for a save. In poetry, as in hockey, players quest for the grail, the trophy, a necrophy, engraved with generations of names, some remembered, most forgotten. Yet in poetry, as in hockey, the dream of the arena begins on the cold, hard rivers of our youth, austere nights of quiet, save for the rasp and the scratch of metal blade, wooden stick, laboring breath.